In chapter 12, we saw the personages of the woman. We saw a scene in heaven. We also saw there this beast. And we saw the great battle that has taken place down through the years as Satan basically has gone against the people of God. And this all culminates, of course, during this tribulation period. In chapter 13, we find that the scene changes somewhat. Rather than heaven, we find in verse number 1, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. He's on the sea coast. And saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Interesting. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Here's a beast that comes on the scene. We saw very similar in chapter number 12. There is similarity, but there is something that's a little bit different. Let's see if we can discern something. In verse number 9 of chapter 10, notice what it says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called who? The devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So in chapter 12, we find that this beast, if you please, this dragon, is what? None other than Satan. However, we get to chapter number 13, and it seems like it's a man. Notice verse number 4. They worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So here we look like this dragon, which has all the similar characteristics, is also empowered by Satan. Verse number 6 and 7, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. And verse number 7 says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. In chapter 12, it's very definitely Satan. Chapter 13, it seems to be a man. Now what's interesting is this. God is in, I don't like using this term, I don't say three parts. God's not divided. He is triune, okay? He is three, he's in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we look here in chapter 13, it seems like that the devil is trying to imitate God. Doesn't he think he is God? So there is Satan, who we could look at perhaps as the father. He is the father of lies, isn't he? We look at this beast, who is a man, who comes to rule, and Jesus is going to come to rule, isn't he? And we're also going to see in this chapter a false prophet who seeks to get everyone to worship the beast. The Holy Spirit of God is here to aid you and I, and to get us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do see, I believe, some similarity there as he seeks to, in my mind, to counterfeit our great God. The beast of chapter 10 had 7 crowns. As we look there upon the heads, in verse number 3, it said in the last few words there, and 7 crowns upon his heads. When we come to chapter 13, we notice here upon his horns are 10 crowns. Now that's interesting. He speaks of the 7 heads, but now the 10 horns have crowns. As we looked at the beast in chapter number 12, we saw it historically. We saw how he has been the enemy to God's people throughout the ages. We find that there were certainly great kingdoms during those history of our world. Most people who look at this and look back at history would divide up some of the great kingdoms of the world into seven kingdoms of the past. They would list them, first of all, Sumeria under the leadership of Nimrod. Of course, we know that to be also the city of Babel. We find, secondly, there would be the great empire of Egypt. We find that in the Word of God under Pharaoh, do we not? We find the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire, we find likened unto the devil when we get into Ezekiel, especially in chapter 28. We find then the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. And we find, of course, the Babylonians did what? They took Israel into captivity and practically destroyed Israel. We find the next great empire that brings Babylon really to its knees, that of the Medo-Persians. And they come on the scene. We find after them is the great Grecian Empire and the Greek city-states. And then, of course, the last great empire of the world was that of Rome. Not that there's not been others, even in our modern day, who have tried to have world domination. But these seem to be the nations and those that we would call crowned in chapter 10 or chapter 12 and verse number 3. However, we get to chapter 13, and the beast that rises up the sea has seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. They didn't have those in the last one. I believe we now have come into the prophetic area, and we are looking at that which is yet future. And here are ten kingdoms that rise up in the last days. Out of these, we will find one comes supreme, who is the term not used in the book of Revelation, which is interesting, but the beast, the Antichrist, this man of sin, who becomes the world leader that everybody bows down to. All of these have one unique feature. The seven heads, the ten horns, all of them have one unique feature, and that they are a part of the beast, and they seek world domination. That we can rely upon. We also know from Scripture that there is a great host of fallen angels that are basically placed over principalities and so forth, as we find in the book of Ephesians. The devil, I believe, is the one who is behind all of these great empires. However, God in His grace does some wondrous things even so. Amen. I mean, think of Nebuchadnezzar. He's one that brought this Babylonian empire into existence, basically, and yet he came to know God. God had to humble him, but he came to know him. We see that. We see one of the Medo-Persians most likely came to know Christ or came to know the Lord in his time. And God is always so gracious through it. The beast that we find here, there are some similarities to that which Daniel sees. In verse number 2, he says, "The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." When we go back to Daniel chapter 7, we find these same four listed there. That's interesting. That of the leopard, that of the lion, that of the bear, and then this great beast. Many people believe, and I have no reason not to with them, that these are representative especially of the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, and then the Romans. There are some who see them as from four different directions, and so they would look at the Western nations, putting England there and the United States, the northern nations of Russia, the eastern nations of what would be modern Iraq and some others even farther east. And while the southern nations would most likely be made up of those around the Mediterranean Sea, which would basically be the old Roman Empire. And so we're looking here at this beast that seems to be that which is projecting all the world governments, that which has dominated or sought to dominate the world throughout the ages. By the middle of the tribulation, all of these have come to the spot where they've been subjected to the power of the beast. It's interesting. And he becomes revived and takes to world dominion. Notice verse number three. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Who is this person? Well, I don't know. But he seems to come out of the past. Is he somebody who was resurrected? Is he somebody who comes on the scene and he's like unto them? I do not know. But I do know this. The world is going to follow after him in amazement. We have seen in our nation in the last 20 years people who've come on the scene nationally who are great deceivers, and our peoples have bought into them. We have seen that. And I believe it would be very easy for this man to come on the scene. The only ones who oppose him will be those who are non-politically correct. By the way, parentheses, if you're a Bible believer, I don't know how you can be politically correct. I'm not sure how you can do that. Because we see some things pretty black and white, don't we? And we see things that are right, we see things that are wrong. By the way, this morning's message will not be politically correct. There's no way in this world. But I will not, or I hope not, that it comes across mean-spirited. There is a difference. We can be mean about it, and we ought not to be. We ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one of these heads becomes revived and takes into world domination. He's the one who probably rids the world of its plagues that were caused by the two witnesses. He's probably the one who has gotten rid of them. They wonder after him. They're excited because this fellow has probably, in their mind, finally got rid of all the problems the world has had. And they don't know. It's just about to begin. All the world wondered after him. Now notice verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? So there's going to be a lot of worship. Who's it going to be toward? The devil and his man. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue, how long? 42 months. We are at the middle of the tribulation. He has 42 months yet to go. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. If you remember, he made a treaty with Israel. Most likely it's the same fellow that he made a treaty with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. They set about to rebuild the temple and to have sacrifices there. And yet we find, as Daniel exclaims, he comes in and offers the abomination of desolation as he makes an offering upon that particular altar. He will stand in that holy place and proclaim himself to be God. The world will believe him. And notice verse 7. Any who oppose him, and it's pretty obvious who that will be, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So here's a world leader. His worship hits an all-time pinnacle, really, of man worship. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. By the way, who do men worship right now, by and large, in our nation? It's a worship of self, isn't it? Yeah, it's all about making ourselves happy. I mean, Burger King had it right down when they said, have it your own way. That is what it's all about for most people. And even we as Christians buy into that very often. It's not about us, it's about him. And so here we find this time where it becomes all about him. in verse number 9. He gives us a warning. More than a warning, it's an invitation. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You need to listen up. There's some things coming, and you need to listen to God, not what's going on about you. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. He's saying, listen, you who are getting beat up by him, understand this. He is coming down. Okay? Be consoled by it. He's using the sword, but God is going to get the victory in the end. Well, as we move on, we have this beast that comes on the scene, this Antichrist, this world leader, but there's also another. Notice verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Okay? He has a gentle character, but he speaks like the dragon. He is called in chapter 16 and verse 13, the false prophet. Again, in chapter 19, verse 20, he's called the false prophet. And so we find him speaking. And as he's called the false prophet, we would look at him and think, this must be a religious leader. Now, all through the centuries, we have found that there have been nations that have risen up, and there have been political leaders. We've also seen there's been times when nations have not been ruled by political people, but by religious people. Whenever they're ruled by religious people, anybody who's in disagreement with them is normally put to death. And we find that in many, many instances. That is even true of some who were called Protestant, who had some areas, and they would put those who didn't agree with them to death. There's some tremendous history concerning that as well. And here we find there is a coalition. They've come together. By the way, we have, in our country, come to the realization from the Word of God that the state and the church are both powers to be recognized, and that one is not to interfere with the other. Government, by the way, in our country, by constitution, is not to mess with church. They're not to tell us how to operate. Oh, guess what they've been trying to do, though? There's something coming down the pike, I'm afraid, is going to be perhaps forced upon us in a few years, and that is hiring of homosexuals. I'll die first. And things of that nature. We see these kinds of things coming. Here is a political leader, the beast, and a religious leader, and this religious leader is making the beast the object of religion. Okay? And so we find these two meshing together at this time. He had two horns like a lamb. It says, verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to what? Worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So here's one who has been wounded. I don't know how it's worked. I don't know to what extent. All I know is this. The devil cannot produce life, but he's very good at deception. And this one, seemingly at least, comes back to life. And this false prophet really is saying, he's the one we need to worship. It's a worship of man. He's the one that is pushing this. It says in verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I don't know how he does it. I don't know what power the devil gives to him. I don't know what powers the devil have, but I do know this, that men are very capable in and of themselves of deceiving others. I don't know who sent it to me. You ever get these little YouTube videos? And so here's a magician. He takes a card. He writes his name on it. He writes, and he goes out and he finds some gal and writes her name on another card. Has her put the card in her mouth so it's just kind of sticking out a little bit. He puts his card in his mouth and has it sticking out a little ways. And then he kisses her. I think he's done this so he can kiss women. And he kisses her. And then he takes the card out of his mouth. And it's got her name on it. And she pulls one out of her mouth and has his name on it. And they're just simply in awe. I don't know how he does it. But he does it without even realizing it. If man can do that kind of deception, what can the devil do with even greater powers? He's not God, but he was an angel, remember. And he does have power. By the way, you and I are no match with him except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. Never forget that. Amen. So he uses some deceptive miracles. He deceived them, verse 14, that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. How does he do that? I don't know. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Nebuchadnezzar made an image, but this one speaks. How does he accomplish it? I don't know. But I do know this. It causes the world to wonder after him. They're in awe. Here's the guy who is freedom, it seems like, from the two witnesses that have called all these plagues down. It seems like these plagues are now gone. And this guy has come on the scene. And he's what looks like the Christ. That's why in other places he's called the Antichrist. Because he's not. They worship him. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive in their right hand or in their foreheads, in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So here's a fellow that comes on the scene, and now he is going to take tremendous control of this world. And the only way that you're going to be able to take care of yourself or to be able to buy goods is to get his mark. Now perhaps there'll be a few that rebel and go out in the wilderness and can live off the land, but by and far most people are not able to do that. And here's a way that he is able to scourge the earth of all those who are in rebellion against him. And they get this mark of the beast, and thus they're able to buy and to sell. Some kind of body marking that's indelibly etched within that person's being. Can you get your identity stolen today? Sure. I'm not here to advertise Laugh Lock or anything else, but we have problems with identity theft. How many have ever had it happen to you? I had $2,500 put on my credit card by somebody down in Florida. Credit card called me. A company called me, said, "You been in Florida?" Actually, I had been. I went down to see Brother Kimmel, but it had been about a month previous to that. And come to find out, somebody had bought a car with my credit card. How'd they get it? They have ways, don't they? If you are online and you think you're secure, there are people who know how to break in and get things. And so we live in that kind of age. There is talk even right now, and some folks are actually going that direction of getting some kind of computer chip implanted within their body so that they can carry that along. There will be some people going around cutting off hands to get it, I suppose. But we have this kind of problem in our day and age. And so he's coming along as the Savior of the world, and this is how we're going to keep folks from stealing from you. Will people get it? Sure they will. And they'll get that mark etched within them. Now notice verse 18. this becomes very interesting. Here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Why did God say that? Does He want us to know something? Evidently He wants us to know something. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, if you've been saved very long or not even saved, you've heard the term 666. We have a song that we sing here that we like to sing from time to time. It's on page 666. And I think to myself, we should have skipped that page when we were numbering the books, because I always think of that. But it's the number of man. Now, there's something interesting. He says, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Does God want us to know or have a good idea or to be looking so to be wise under this? Listen, Christians sometimes go hog wild on some of this stuff, but at the same time, God's saying, here's wisdom. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. This is interesting. In the Greek language, and by the way, the New Testament was written in what? Greek. Okay. This is also true in the Hebrew language, and the Old Testament happened to be written in Hebrew. Every letter of the Greek language stands for a number. Did you know that? I've got them right here. Alpha, the first letter, is 1. Beta, the second letter, is 2. Gamma, the third letter, is 3. Epsilon is 4. Delta is 4. Epsilon, 5. Stigma is 6. Zeta is 7. Eta is 8. Theta is 9. Iota is 10. Kappa is 20. Lambda is 30. Mu is 40. Nu is 50. Xi is 60. Omicron is 70. You know what? I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but you folks think I do. I think I'm close. I took Greek one time. No, let me re-explain that. Greek took me. Took me for a ride. And you go down through kappa, which is 90, and then rho, which is 100, and then you go to sigma, which is 200, tau, which is 300, and it goes up to the last letter, sampe, which is 900. Many believe, and I've heard this over and over through the years, if you were to assign or transliterate a name into the Greek, which really you can do very easily, it would not be very difficult then to assign a letter to every, or a number to every letter and come up with a number. That's interesting. Did you know that one of our presidents, his numbers added up to 666? No, he's dead. His name was Johnson. Okay. What was his first name? Not Andrew Johnson. Lyndon Johnson. Added up to that. One out of every 10,000 names will add up to that. So it's not something that's very, you know, extremely remote. But could that be what God's wanting us to have some idea? If we're looking at some personages on the horizon, I don't know. Maybe God wants us to be very aware and understand. Is He going to be on the scene before the rapture takes place? I think most likely. What kind of significance will He have at that time? I'm not too sure. He will be one of the 10 horns. He will be one of these that's yet future that rises to prominence amongst them. And who's he going to be? I don't know. I know the devil is behind all of it. And you and I need to be wise as serpents. Now, we're not going through the tribulation, but we need to be aware of what's taking place in our world. What does North Korea have to do with all this? That's interesting. That's very interesting. Boy, North Korea has really been nasty right now, isn't it? What does America have to do with all of this? And why isn't America probably prominent at that time? I believe that our nation, as we've known it, is in decline. I'll make a few remarks in the next hour about that, but I believe we're in a horrible place of decline. And we're going to go into the realm of obscurity as far as power is concerned. I don't personally believe that Korea is going to knock us out. We're going to implode from within. And it's sad to see. But what we see here is tremendous time. The seventh trumpet is about to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, we're going to have those seven bowls of wrath pour out upon the earth. But right now, we're right in the midst of this. And the two witnesses are now gone. The Antichrist, this beast, has come to the throne. He is in power. And the world is wondering after him. But God tells the saints, though he's persecuting and killing them, that sword will come upon him. And we will see that take place as we come through the end of this. It's a magnificent study of what is yet to come. But if you're saved today, you don't have to go through that. Amen? We're going up. And we'll be coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ and to rule and reign with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this tremendous chapter. Lord, in many ways can be confusing, and so many details that we can look at. Oh God, we might have a general overall concept. Help us to be able to place these things in our hearts and minds and be settled in our soul that you are indeed Lord of lords and King of kings, and that all of it, though as we look at our world today, seems so radically insecure, that it is very secure that we are in you. We love you for that. We pray you might bless our fellowship now, bless in the hour to follow. Glorify yourself, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.